This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on this Wednesday morning, sort of like a Friday for us, because the next 2 days are holidays on the company list. It was a good thing to see when it came out. How about you, Kim? You going to be up at 4 a.m. on Friday morning shopping for Black Friday
items? I've never been one of those people. The only reason I've ever gone out to the midnight shopping whole thing, well, when it used to happen, they don't really do the doorbuster stuff anymore.
You can just buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, I used to have to cover that stuff, which those were kind of fun stories because it was, I thought they were crazy, but it was kind of neat to see, lines outside the Best Buy or Walmart. I feel like those were two of the big places where people would often line up.
Certainly stories we covered over the years when we were in the news business. And this morning, where you would have been? At the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the bigger crowds than ever. A record-breaking year of travelers. You better get there early. Why did you not get here early?
You know what you have to say? Pack your patience.
Yeah.
All the cliches.
Pack your patience. If you're on the way to the airport, you're going to be fine.
Give yourself some extra time.
Listen to Sue Thomas. You're going to get there. You're going to get parked. You're going to get to the airport. People take care of that.
Friday morning, though, we will have a live show.
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
That's true. I'm glad you pointed that out, Carl. Sorry about that.
All I was gonna say there is,
you'll only make that mistake once. Like if you get to the airport only an hour before your flight and you miss that flight, I guarantee you, you'll get there 2 hours ahead of time the next time. And inevitably, you get there 2 hours ahead of time, and it takes you 10 minutes to get through TSA. It never fails.
What kind of traveler are you? Do you want to get there 2 hours early and make sure you have enough time and you're not rushed, or do you want to push it?
I usually get there an hour and a half out, probably. I'm married to somebody who wants to get there 3 hours early, no matter what they say. So we usually compromise, and we're there 20 minutes earlier than I'd like to be, which pushes us back closer to 2 hours.
Yeah. And then you have time to get like the $15 sandwiches.
Yeah, that's true. Then you're a captive audience, and you can get a $12 beer in the bar.
There you go.
Yeah, or a $20 mixed drink. I never understood how they got away with that. How do they get away with that? Why are they allowed to rape you on the drink prices?
Because
and
you know
food
what,
prices,
it's except
just because you're at the airport.
There's something about like people are willing to drink a beer at 8 a.m. if they're in an airport.
I know, but still,
is not a thing. They shouldn't even have clocks there because it doesn't matter. It's like anything is acceptable once you're on vacation or you're in the airport.
It's because these airports generate revenue for the cities that encompass them. And in this case, the city of St. Louis owns Lambert, and they want to make as much money as they can. And they charge exorbitant fees to get a license to be able to serve food or beer in one of those places. And they just pass it on to the consumer.
Well, they don't get enough money from the earnings tax.
That's it. They need more cash. Which might explain why they haven't spent any money on upgrading that place in a while. Seriously. All right. Tell you what, we got lots to get to this hour. We're going to talk to Attorney Jeremy Rosenthal on the judge dismissing those election interference and documents cases against Donald Trump. I got that coming up for you in just a few minutes. Next hour, Congressman Eric Burleson. He is, of course, from the 7th Congressional District and has introduced a bill to abolish the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and turn it into a convenience store. No, that's not actually what the bill says. It would make a better convenience store, but I'm anxious to see where he thinks those things go under the DOJ if ATF goes away. So we'll talk to him about that at about 7:35. Right now, I want to get to our top stories. Carl Middleman, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And my message to all my friends and my enemies in America is happy Thanksgiving and stay deplorable, my friend.
John Kennedy was a little bit on fire yesterday talking about, you know, he didn't use the word weird like Tim Walz. He said these people on the left are just goofy. And we'll get to more on that for you a little later.
We're on the brink of needing to declare a climate emergency, which is what we really have. And we need to get people to behave as if this really is a major transitional challenge to the whole planet.
What are we going to do with John F. Kerry when he no longer can jet around the globe as our climate czar? I just don't know what we will all do without. What will John F. Kerry do? He might go insane.
Let me be clear on Hamas, and the Prime Minister was very clear about this. We will complete the task of obliterating Hamas. There's no deal to be made with Hamas.
We will complete it, says Israel. Despite the fact that a ceasefire has been called with Hezbollah, they're still fighting in Gaza and don't intend to stop because you can't negotiate with terrorists.
It was a partnership between Microsoft and NBC way back in the 1990s, back when Microsoft was under investigation by Bill Clinton's DOJ for monopoly. I don't remember anybody panicking over MSNBC back then.
No, they definitely did.
Yeah, that's a good point. Everybody's freaking out over the possibility of Elon Musk taking over, right? They're panicked about the possibility of Elon Musk taking over MSNBC. There's a video out there showing Rachel Maddow in tears. I think that's AI generated.
I'm sure it is, but I have seen rumors about this. Yeah. And can you imagine how fantastic that would be, considering what he's done with X?
Yeah. Well, Scott Jennings was on CNN, kind of kicking it around with Kerry Champion of ESPN on the whole thing. Go to cut number 8 there, Carl, please.
It was a partnership between Microsoft and NBC way back in the 1990s, back when Microsoft was under investigation by Bill Clinton's DOJ for monopoly. I don't remember anybody panicking over MSNBC back then.
No, they definitely did. But yeah, continue.
Well, like Fox was launching, MSNBC was launching. Still the here. Cable news network was shifting. The landscape
but
was shifting.
But isn't the issue that the left has gotten so used to controlling almost all institutional information distribution arms in this country that when one little piece of it, whether it's X or MSNBC or anything else gets taken away, the panic is so outrageous. I mean, that's how used to the left is having control of all of it.
Yeah, it's true. He's right. Like, they're so shocked by the fact that somebody who might disagree with their worldview is in charge of Twitter. To me, Twitter is far more interesting now than it used to be when they were just in the business of silencing conservatives. I had my feed, I've got, I don't know how many followers on Twitter, but I saw that traffic go down considerably before Elon Musk owned that, and he opened everything back up again. It's a free speech platform. What they don't like is that Elon Musk gives his opinion on it. Like, they don't think the guy that owns it should be able to give his opinion. Everybody can give their opinion on X.
I was watching some clip where Scott Jennings was challenging the other people on CNN, and they were talking about how since Elon Musk has taken over X, it is the now most diverse platform when it comes to ideologies.
Sure it is.
And it's interesting,
and they argued with him over
it. They argued with him, and it's funny because then they flash back to a clip, I think maybe from election night, talking about they were, I guess, taking a poll of Democrats versus Republicans and saying, which platform do you use? And it was basically, of course, it has been a drop off since Musk took over, you know, for the Democrats. But it was basically 48% of Democrats said they use it versus 47% of the Republicans. I mean, that's basically the makeup of the country.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have that split, I would argue, on TikTok. Certainly not TikTok. Instagram, I would even say Facebook is probably not that close.
The left is only happy when their opinions are coming out of your mouth. And if you say anything else, they want to shut you down. And they're the ones that bitch about fascism all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing to me, the hypocrisy that we've seen on this, and them freaking out that Elon Musk might buy MSNBC. That would be the funniest thing ever. He should buy it and turn it into a shopping channel. Don't you think? That would be the best thing.
Make all the ladies on The View. Wouldn't they love that?
That's what he should do. All right, we're going to get to a break only because I got Jeremy Rosenthal, the attorney, on the other side of the break, talking more about the judge decision yesterday to dismiss Donald Trump's election interference case and the documents case all at one time. We'll be back.
I just have to remind you, don't you ever let anybody take your power from you. You have the same power that you did before November 5th. And you have the same purpose that you did. And you have the same ability to engage and inspire. So don't ever let anybody or any circumstance take your power from you.
Yeah, don't do that. That is the very kind of odd video released by Kamala Harris yesterday. Tim Walz was on there, too. Tim Walz was apparently on the same call of telling people how proud he was of Kamala Harris and why you shouldn't lose faith and why you should hang in there. And well, here it is. Listen to it. You can listen yourself.
Those things are just as important now as they were before Election Day. And so I hope all of you take care of yourselves, take care of your families, find the place in your community to heal both yourselves and your community. And then when you're ready to get back in this fight, because it continues on.
find a place to heal. Find a safe space in your community where you won't have somebody that looks like he was just announced as the next contestant on The Price is Right running out on the stage every time he's announced.
You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Tim Walz, come on down.
I mean, come on, give me a break. They're all, you know, it's all go into hiding mode. I saw an article the other day, I think it was linked through Breitbart, that said a lot of people on the left feel deflated. In 2016, they felt energized because they thought the Russians had stolen the election from Hillary Clinton, and they were energized to take to the street in their pink hats and protest and blah, blah, blah. And this time, they're just not feeling the same. Well, maybe it's because you're starting to realize that was all way overblown, and the left has demonized a man who didn't deserve it. Everybody's got their flaws. But maybe that's got something to do with it. My guess is there will be a women's march on Washington again. Last year, I don't remember them doing it the last couple of years. But when there's a Republican in the White House, there's a women's march on Washington.
Well, the hope is that it doesn't end up, you know, becoming some sort of like a riot.
Well, the point is, did you see the list of how diverse this cabinet is that Trump has appointed?
Yeah.
I mean, the first gay man who's been elected, was he Treasury Secretary? Was that the one they picked?
I'm just so tired,
though. A couple of women.
I'm so tired of hearing about this.
Well, I know, but that's the difference. Republicans didn't put out a press release saying, we're making history by appointing the first openly gay man who's married to a man who has children to be Treasury Secretary. They didn't lead with it that way. The Biden administration, that would have been the lead sentence in the press release about the nomination before mentioning individual's name.
It's true.
Because they play identity politics.
Well, they would have chosen the person based on that
Trump didn't mention gender or anything. Mm-hmm. He mentioned why he thought they were the best qualified person
right.
for the spot.
I agree. The left, Kamala would go out and find like a furry just so she could say that she had the first furry in her cabinet.
Remember the guy that wore a dress and had a mustache and was stealing luggage all over the country?
Which one? Because there were quite a few, I feel like.
Yeah, there was the admiral at HHS, but then there's another one who was over at, wasn't he in charge of nuclear secrets or something?
I don't remember.
I don't know. Just all this weird hodgepodge of people, and you know there might have been somebody normal who could have taken that job, but that didn't fit their agenda. And I love that about this. Donald Trump didn't say, I've just appointed the first, you know, female chief of staff, because that wasn't why he appointed her. He appointed her because she was the most qualified person in his sphere to do that job.
Susie Wiles also, that's her name, right?
Yeah.
Susie Wiles. She also looks like the kind of person who would, you know, like your grandma who you'd go over and she'd bake, give you a little basket of cookies, you know, with the jam in the center.
My guess is she'd give you a basket of cookies and kick you in the ass.
Probably
that
too.
She looks like she gets things done.
Well, she obviously did if she was able to help Trump with his campaign in the way that she did.
Yeah, I'm not saying she's a bad person. I'm just saying that she's a mean person. But I have heard that she's sort of a... got a reputation of not taking any prisoners if you cross her.
But she just looks
so I think
so
in that role,
sweet.
You might have to
now you
be that
you
way.
Have to. I think you have to be you can't be a softie. You have to be tough and smart, but you I think she looks the part of, you know, the sweet woman who's going to bake you a loaf of bread.
Yeah. What did Pelosi's daughter say about her? She'll cut your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding?
I don't remember
I'm just saying. She did say that. I've got the bite here somewhere. She will absolutely die. And I don't know if Susie Wiles is like that or Wiles, but the point is the same. These are a group of people who are are qualified. You can argue whether or not Pete Hegseth is the most qualified to be a Secretary of Defense, but you can't argue that he's not qualified. You can argue maybe he's not the, like, if your idea of the Secretary of Defense is somebody who's been a four-star general, and that has to be the person that's in charge of the Pentagon, then you wouldn't think that somebody who was only a lieutenant colonel could, or a major could have that role. But that doesn't mean Hegseth's not doesn't have the background to understand the scope of the job. Most importantly, he understands what Donald Trump wants him to do, which is the key here. They're going to start getting into these departments next week, like a month and a half out from when he takes over, because Trump was very serious about hitting the ground running on day one. He wants these people in place on day one. They've already signed a memorandum agreement with the White House to start moving their people into these departments. And the key is here, they're all going to operate separately. No government money is going to be spent on it. It's all private money. They're going to go in and set up offices and start getting ready to take over on January 20th.
Tom Homan already went to the border.
Yep, he's there. Here it is. Wait for it.
She'll cut your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding. That's all you need to know about her. No one ever won betting against Nancy Pelosi. She's persevered. You got to give her credit.
And that's her daughter. She grew up with a woman she knows. We'll be back in just a minute.
We eventually broadcast a story about the Hunter Biden laptop after the midterm elections in 2022. We commissioned a forensic review. I got a copy of the laptop data. I have it here still. I went to a lot of effort to get the cleanest copy of the laptop data, the same data that was provided to the FBI, because I didn't want to have any professional journalistic risk for CBS News. I wanted this thing to be totally locked down.
That is Catherine Herridge. Of course, she was a longtime correspondent for Fox. Then she went to work for CBS, where she saw the CBS News editorial bias in a very up close and personal firsthand way, where she was shut down on her attempts to report on the Hunter Biden laptop. They had the copy before the midterms in 2022. This is the same organization, like a lot of the mainstream media, that refused to even report on it back in 2020 when we knew about it. By 2022, they had all the goods, but CBS News executives opted not to go with the story before the midterms out of fear that it might impact the midterm elections.
Yeah, that's not
surprising
at all. And
she's embarrassed by it as a journalist, that they actively made that decision because they didn't want to hurt Joe Biden's chances of in the midterms of retaining the House or the Senate or whatever. The bite's longer. I'm going to play the rest of it for you a little later, but I'm glad Herridge is coming out now and admitting some of this stuff, because it's one more peek behind the curtain there of the mainstream media for sure. All right, let's get to Nicole Murray. Nicole, happy Thanksgiving Eve. How are you?
I am barely here right now. I'm already in holiday mode. I don't know why we're working. I have some feelings about it.
So are you working close to home up there? I mean, is your family in the Jersey area?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't have to travel very far for Thanksgiving.
An hour maybe.
Oh,
that's about it.
That's not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
Do you go out? Do you do the Wednesday night
Mark,
warm up?
Are you going to say it?
No, that's Carl's word, not mine. Do you do the Wednesday night party?
Drinksgiving.
I'm going to try this year. I'm trying to convince people to go to happy hour with me.
Nice.
So, but I'm not doing like late night. Those days are over. I can't.
Yeah, we got a big event tonight here it's a fundraiser for police and firefighters. It's called Guns and Hoses. And they get in the ring and they box each other, the police and the firefighters.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really, they've been doing it for years. They make like $1 million for the organization tonight.
What time does that start?
I think it starts about 6:30 is the first match,
5:30.
Well, it starts at 5:30. Then it's televised starting at 7, right?
Yeah, 6:30, okay. Yes.
Yeah, got it. Anyway.
7 p.m., I'd have to strategically nap.
We will. Don't worry. Naps are planned all around on the morning show.
If my son naps, then I get a nap.
There you go. What else is going on out there today?
So futures are mixed ahead of key inflation data set to be released later this morning. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 123, the NASDAQ gained 120, and the S&P 500 up 34. Culinary cricket cultivator Mighty Cricket is getting $650,000 as the company looks to bolster insect growth and improve taste. The St. Louis-based company is now funded through the next phase of its efforts to convert food waste into nutritious cricket feed, thanks to a Small Business Innovation Research Grant through the Department of Agriculture. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index is set to be released at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect a year-over-year increase of 2.8% for the core reading, which excludes food and energy. Reddit is ramping up efforts to attract more users outside of the U.S., putting countries like India and Brazil in focus. That's according to CNBC. Expansion into new markets would help Reddit unlock new advertising revenue internationally. Reddit is working on new search tools that will also allow users to navigate the platform more easily. Millions of Americans with obesity would be eligible to have popular weight loss drugs like Wegovy or Ozempic covered by Medicare and Medicaid under a new rule the Biden administration proposed. While the rule would give millions of people access to the weekly injectables, it would cost taxpayers as much as $35 billion over the next decade. The National Retail Federation believes more than 34 million Americans may spend part of Thanksgiving shopping. Many retailers, however, will keep their doors closed on Thanksgiving Day. This includes Target, Walmart, Macy's, and more. ShopRite, Stop and Shop, and Amazon Fresh will be open for limited hours. And finally, happy Thanksgiving Eve. Who is ready to eat? Experts say the average American will eat up to 4,500 calories on Thanksgiving. 2,000 of those calories will be eaten during Thanksgiving dinner alone. Fun fact, it takes up to 10 hours to burn off 4,500 calories.
Is that all? Just 10 hours? You just have to go like go run a marathon or something. You'll be fine,
that's
right?
That's it. Just
Did
a
you
marathon.
Just say, is that all?
I don't want to think about that. I just want to eat and take a nap in front of the TV while a football game is on, right? Even if it's a bad football game, which it'll apparently be.
I already got my sweatpants. It's like a sweatsuit, so that way it looks like I'm matching and I care, but
nice.
A lot of elasticity so I can eat as much as I want. I've already got it down pat.
So what's your do you have like any quirks on things you won't eat for Thanksgiving?
I'm not a big gravy gal.
Okay.
I'm not big on that. Do you really care about white meat and dark meat? Because apparently that's a big thing.
No. If it's meat, I'll eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I have the greatest sister-in-law in the world. Can I just brag about her for a minute? Because she always makes the dressing. And she knows that I hate celery. So she makes me a separate pot of dressing with no celery in it.
Aww.
She is the best.
That's love right there.
I know it is. I'm just saying, Julie, thank you. Love you for that.
That's also picky eating right there.
Well, no, it's not. She knows I'm special and she takes care of me. That's
is that
fantastic.
Is that the word she uses?
Yeah, you're special.
I was just going to ask.
Mark is special.
Oh,
have a happy Thanksgiving, Nicole.
Thank you guys so
all
much.
Right.
You as well.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it. You enjoyed that, didn't you, Kim?
I did. Yeah. Yes, thank Why? You. I don't know. Just it felt right.
See, I brought Carl a sandwich. See, I'm sensitive to these things. I brought Carl a breakfast sandwich this morning, and I had to apologize to him because it's really hard to find like breakfast sandwiches that don't have cheese on them, like a bacon, egg, and cheese, or a croissant, sausage, and cheese, and egg sandwich. And Carl does not like cheese. I don't know what you have against cows.
I don't know what the issue is with cheese.
It's mold.
I would live in a cheese house, like a Gouda.
A cheese house.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I would eat a wheel of cheese if it were acceptable.
If I liked cheese, I would be as big as both of you combined.
What are you trying to say,
why
Carl?
Do you say that,
are you
Carl?
Saying we look fat?
Both of you combined would be
very small. Five, right. Both of us combined, he's trying to say, would be still small.
But you like donuts, and they have more calories than cheese.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, but I don't. See, what I did, Mark, was take the top half of the cheese thing and gave it to Ethan, who gave me the bottom half of his. And so he got double cheese, and I got nothing.
I think the only thing you're picky about, though, would be celery, and you do not like peppers.
I don't like green or red peppers. No.
So wait, so you'll eat yellow?
Well, no.
Okay, so you don't like bell peppers.
Correct.
Okay, that's not bad.
Like, I like banana peppers. I just don't
like bell
peppers.
Banana peppers. Okay. Now, I'm not going to lie, Carl. You do have more things that you won't eat.
Vegetables.
Than Mark.
Vegetables. You won't eat vegetables. In general, and cheese. Very picky. If you have Carl over, just know that in advance.
But to your point, Mark, you spoil us on food. You are very generous.
Yes.
And Carl, you bring us popcorn, which I appreciate. Mark, you regularly stop and get us all sorts of delicious food. And you brought us some in this morning. You brought us food on Monday. So...
Thankful
you of all
you,
people, we are very thankful. I'm very thankful for both of you.
And I'm thankful
not just for
food. The whole crew. So you guys show up every morning and kill it.
And Tom Ackerman's going to take you
to breakfast because his Indiana Hoosiers lost to The Ohio State University.
Yep.
You got a lot to look forward to, Kim, between now and Christmas. That's good.
Mm.
All right, coming up, we're going to get to In Other News here in a couple minutes with Ethan. Next hour, Congressman Eric Burleson and... my friend is coming in from Macadoodles this morning, Mike. We're looking forward to that. With samples. That's about 7:20. Carl, get ready.
What's happening?
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Taylor Swift has been named the second greatest pop star of the 21st century by Billboard magazine, surpassing icons like Rihanna, Drake, and Lady Gaga. Now, they haven't said who the number one spot is, but everybody pretty much knows already, if you want to take a guess.
Beyonce?
It is Beyonce.
I was almost going to say, I hope it's not her. She's just not. Why? Why?
I don't know. For $1 million, you too can get her to endorse you. She's for sale. Really? Her endorsement's for sale, right? Unbelievable. But she won't sing, but she'll endorse you.
Now,
that would have been another $10 million.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Sing.
It looks like Billboard's getting a little bit of backlash over her ranking, that being Taylor Swift from the Swifties, and then, of course, then you have the Beehive coming after them. And
well, I would argue, even though I'm not a huge Taylor Swift fan, I would argue Taylor Swift deserves to be at the top over Beyonce.
But it's the last 25 years, though, so it's not like in the last year or two.
Still.
Taylor's been popular for a decade.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why it's 25 years, not just the last 10.
I still disagree.
Okay.
New details have emerged about Liam Payne's final hours before his tragic death at the Buenos Aires Hotel, raising questions about the events leading up to the incident. Closed caption TV footage shows Payne being carried to his room by hotel staff, appearing conscious but unwilling to return to his room. Hours later, he fell to his death, with police suggesting he may have attempted to escape via the balcony because they found a bag containing alcohol and pills beforehand, like that had been dropped. Payne, reportedly under the influence of drug and alcohol, have been acting erratically the days prior, and the autopsy did rule out foul play. So I think he was trying to climb out.
Is there a high rise in America that does not have security cameras pointed at their balconies? Wouldn't you think they would just do that for like legal reasons?
But this is Argentina.
Well, I know that, but I'm a little surprised that at a fancy hotel like that, they wouldn't have had the same thing.
Well, it was also only the third floor.
Well, this is true. Not much of a drop.
Unless you're really high.
30 feet, what? Yeah. I mean, you can see you breaking your legs, but unless you landed on your head, that probably wouldn't be fatal.
Don't a lot of the high rises, I mean, they don't even have a balcony for this very reason.
Right. Well, a lot of the hotels.
You can't even open the windows. Yeah.
The Los Angeles Dodgers are at it again. They have signed two-time Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell to a five-year, $182 million deal, bolstering their rotation after winning the World Series. Snell, who is only 32, is coming off a stellar season with the San Francisco Giants, where he rebounded from a slow start to post a 1.23 ERA in his final 14 starts, including a no-hitter.
He's not happy about this.
Yo,
this is
Mo,
ridiculous.
Where are you?
Yo. Oh, he's not going to do anything. You could preach that all you want. That's not happening.
Sorry.
I did find this fun fact out. This is the 12th $100 million contract the Dodgers have given out, and five of those 12 have come since 2023.
Wow.
Where is this money coming from? I mean, I know the billionaires' owners, but
biggest media market in the country? I mean, besides New York? It's got to be, right?
It LA is. Yeah. LA is LA's absolutely. I remember LA being number two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Ethan said, why watch MLB anymore?
You don't have to. It's just an all-star game in the Dodgers. Like, seriously, who's going to compete against
them? Yeah, but I hate the Dodgers,
Yankees,
so
and
I don't
want to
watch
Mets.
The Dodgers.
But they've only won once since they started doing
exactly.
This.
Yeah, exactly. It's not automatic. They've had seasons.
You still got to play the games.
They've kind of sucked.
Yeah. But then you're going to get teams like the Pirates and maybe ours who aren't spending any money whatsoever because they have no chance of getting these players.
We're not going to ever compete with that.
True. Whatever.
We used to have a farm team. You
said. Rant over. The Oregon Trail, the iconic computer game from the 1980s, is being adapted into an action comedy movie by Apple. Originally created as a teaching tool in 1971, the game became a worldwide phenomenon and is part of the World Video Game Hall of Fame. Spoiler alert, they're all going to die from dysentery.
No.
Who?
That's dysentery.
Oh, yes.
That was my generation.
That's the meme.
I used to play the Oregon Trail. Everyone would die from dysentery.
Guess what's going to happen?
I mean this with all the respect in the world, but that was around when that was big for you guys?
It was huge for us.
It came out in 1974.
Oh.
We literally got time in school, like in our classroom, to go play that.
Really?
Yeah. We had brand new computers for the first time ever. And they'd be like, you get 15 minutes.
Council.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, back then they had abacus.
Back then they didn't have computers.
You two acting like you're that much younger than me. Get the hell out of here.
What about me, though? Do I get to say that?
Yeah, you do. You get to say that.
I didn't say anything.
Not those two.
It looks like the Blue Man Group, known for its unique blend of comedy music and acrobats, will end its long-running residency in New York and Chicago with the final shows on February 2nd and January 5th, respectively. After over 30 years of quirky, genre-defying performances at Manhattan's Astropolis Theater, the group cited challenges facing live theater, including the lasting impact of COVID-19 and competition from streaming services. So that's why they're wrapping it up.
The lasting impact of COVID-19.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Maybe people just aren't still going out. Who knows?
Maybe they've just lost interest and they've been doing the same thing for 30 years.
They need an excuse.
Well, are they still going to be in Vegas?
It didn't say.
So, yes.
Huh. So, you guys have all... I've seen them in person.
No, yeah.
They will continue performance in Vegas, Orlando, and Boston.
It is a cool show, but it's kind of creepy because they, at one point, at least in our show, they climbed the backs of the chairs into the audience.
Oh, really?
To come get people. Oh,
you saw it at the Fox?
No, I don't remember where. It was, I think, a different city. It was years ago.
John Tenswood, he's the world's oldest living man at 112 years old. Well, he was. He passed away at a care home in northeast England. He was born in August 26th of 1912, and he became the record holder on April after the previous title holder died at 114.
Wow.
So congratulations.
So how
Sam,
old is the new guy?
Well, he was 112. There is a woman that is 116 that's in Japan. She's still living. So she's the oldest person.
Clean living. I love the ones that live to 115 and say, I drink a bottle of whiskey every day.
Who was that guy of Grumpy Old Men?
Yeah.
Bacon every meal.
Burgess Meredith.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. That could have been. Could have been for sure. Coming up, we're going to talk to Eric Burleson, the congressman who wants to abolish the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. I got that coming up for you at 7:35. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.